Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we have an exciting guest because this is a question we get all the time about hormones and their connection to headaches and migraines. But we have Dr. Leora on the podcast. She's local to Colorado Springs and a provider in kind of family practice, women's health, naturopathic medicine. And I'm excited to have you on. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Taves. I'm very excited to be here and to get to speak all about headaches and hormones and
yeah,
to our listeners.
Absolutely. So let's start out, Dr. Leora, with, and generally we start out with the providers that are on this podcast, just giving their background. We have people that are passionate about what they do. And so tell us your journey and how you got to where you are and a little bit about why you're passionate about this subject.
Yeah. So a little just background information. I grew up on the East Coast and moved here to Colorado about a year ago to be closer to family and also to join the Organic Cure. So I'm really excited to be here in Colorado and have absolutely loved it. I'm also an outdoor enthusiast, like love hiking and being outdoors and being in nature. And this is the perfect place for that. So
yeah, absolutely.
My journey to naturopathic medicine started in pre-med. So I was undergrad. Really determined to go to medical school. I started shadowing a lot of doctors and then started to second guess if that was the route I wanted to go. I was shadowing OBGYNs and seeing like woman after woman coming in, having 15 minutes with the doctor and being sent on their way with oral contraceptive pills or Lupron or a medication that was just suppressing. They were helpful. They helped people get better, but there was never time to ask more questions. Mm. And so I left like the shadowing sessions feeling like, wait, but what about other things? Like what are causing those symptoms? And so I went home and a simple Google search of more holistic medical schools led me to naturopathic medicine. I didn't even know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I like read the description page of what the philosophy is of naturopathic medicine. And it's really looking at the body as a whole and figuring out what symptoms mean, like really not dismissing symptoms and seeing them as alarm signs that something else is out of balance in the body. And that really resonated with me. And so like that's when I knew that was the way I wanted to practice medicine. There's a place for both. And I really think there's a place for medication and there's a time where we need to see a provider and get something to deal with symptoms right away. But I knew I wanted to work with patients in a different way.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So what led to this sort of women's health specialty? Because that's kind of the specialty you're in right now, correct?
Yes, for the most part. I would say metabolic health and women's health.
Okay.
They kind of overlap. Actually, when I went to naturopathic school, I kind of started broad. Mm-hmm. I thought that maybe I wanted to do oncology or pediatrics or wasn't really sure. And so I started doing more rotations. And I really found the gap in like women's health when I started seeing patients. And I was just seeing patient after patient coming in, having their symptoms dismissed, whether that was perimenopause symptoms or menopausal women or women in their reproductive years, mm-hmm. having a lot of symptoms that were related to their hormones and just like their symptoms were dismissed and there weren't a lot of options for them other than the pill or being told like deal with it, it'll resolve like when you're postmenopausal.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not fair. There's got to be other options.
Right. So maybe we start there because I mean, we have the hormone question a lot. We frequently have patients with headaches and migraines that are dealing with like an imbalance of hormones and whether people connect hormone-related symptoms to their headaches or migraines, which a lot of people do. But I guess my question is, why is this being overlooked?
I just want to clarify the question. You mean the correlation between headaches
and
hormones?
Good clarification. So more so like people going through our healthcare system, you were seeing sort of they're overlooking these symptoms and we need to provide a solution here. So why is that being overlooked in our healthcare system?
Maybe not enough education. Like maybe one that patients don't always realize that it's hormone related and like the awareness of the menstrual cycle. Like there's way too many people that aren't even aware of what's happening in their cycle and what's happening in their body. And so they don't even know how to advocate for themselves.
They don't know what normal is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to someone coming into your office with headaches or migraines, and what are some of the things you're looking for? And I think what's most important for people listening to the podcast is understanding like the whole slew of symptoms and different signs that there's a hormone problem, in addition to just like, my head hurts. Can you speak to some of those other symptoms someone might have?
Yeah, absolutely. So headaches are not uncommon, or migraines are not are quite common in a cyclical fashion.
Okay.
So I really encourage everybody to track, if you're in your reproductive years, track your cycles. Mm. And then also when those hormones, like when those migraines are happening in relation to your cycle. So the two most common times that we see migraines or headaches in the cycle are right after ovulation, right before a menstrual cycle, a period, or during a menstrual period.
Okay.
And the causes for that are when hormones are changing, specifically estrogen. Estrogen levels drop right after ovulation, and that change in estrogen changes serotonin levels in the brain, which changes vasodilation, right? And that can be a trigger for a migraine. And that also happens right before your period, is that your estrogen levels drop, and then that can lead to a migraine.
Yeah.
So does that mean that everybody experiences those hormone changes if they're having regular cycles? Why isn't everyone having migraines or headaches during those times, right? So hormone fluctuations are normal. Severe symptoms or any other hormone symptoms are not normal. They're a sign of an imbalance.
Yeah, that's great. I love how you asked that question then answered it, because, doesn't everyone go through this cycle, or all women go through this cycle? And our listeners, I've talked about it before, but the connection to serotonin, a lot of these migraine medications that people take are also sort of manipulating or interacting with serotonin or receptors, things like that. And so even that explanation is probably not something that people have heard before. I appreciate that. That's very clear.
Yeah. And another aspect is that when estrogen levels drop, pain, like how you experience pain changes, your threshold for pain actually decreases when your estrogen levels are lower. So that can be another trigger, is that you could be prone, you could have a lot of other triggers, but because your threshold for pain is lower, you'll experience that pain to a lot higher level during those lower estrogen phases.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And
you're speaking our language.
Very relevant for perimenopause and menopause women as well.
Okay.
Postmenopausal women, usually the estrogen fluctuations change.
Okay.
But during perimenopause, that's when estrogen starts doing like wonky things. It's up and down. That can be a huge trigger for migraines or headaches.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. What are some other signs or symptoms that these women should be looking for, that maybe their cycle isn't regular or there's an imbalance?
Yeah. So if you're in your reproductive years, then you should be tracking your cycle, and your cycle should be about the same number of days. And there's no magic number for that. So I think 28 days is what is out there, but you could have 30 day cycles, and that could be your norm. You could have 26 day cycles, and that could be your norm. If it's less than that, I would say less than 24, then maybe we need to start to question it. Or if it's changing and becoming shorter, then we need to question if there's something affecting your hormones, or if it's longer than 33. But it's really your norm and how the cycle is changing. So that's the regularity of your cycle. And then any other like extreme symptom changes that are very consistent, so a week before your period or 2 weeks before your period, a lot of mood changes, like severe mood changes, isn't normal. It is normal to feel different during that phase because your hormones are different, but to the point where it's affecting your ability to function and like work, that is not normal.
Okay.
Really severe cramping, that's not normal. Really heavy bleeding, that's not normal, right? Those are all signs of hormone imbalance. Breast tenderness, that can be a sign of a hormone imbalance. Skin changes, acne, those can be signs of hormone imbalance symptoms.
Okay. So if someone with headaches or migraines has a hormone imbalance, they're more likely to experience a headache or migraine. And so are they also impacted in a sense like the normal fluctuation estrogen that would decrease their threshold, is that like amplified in a sense as well?
Yes, very much so. Okay. So hormone imbalance, that could be either that they're not metabolizing or clearing estrogen well, or they're not producing healthy amounts of progesterone to balance that estrogen. And that can really exacerbate like hormone change symptoms that are supposed to happen throughout the month.
Okay. All right. So the natural next question is, why does this happen? How do they get to this place?
Yeah, there's not just one cause.
Okay.
There's a lot of different causes. So I usually start in the gut. So okay. I look at their digestion. Are they having a bowel movement every day or at least one healthy bowel movement a day?
Gotcha.
If not, that is a really big cause of estrogen dominance because that is one of the ways that we reabsorb estrogen. One of the ways that we eliminate estrogen is in the stool. So our liver metabolizes it and then we eliminate it in the stool. High levels of an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase makes us reabsorb estrogen. And that can be from imbalances in our gut microbiome or having slow transit or not having regular bowel movements can really affect estrogen levels.
Okay.
So looking at the gut, the colon, health and daily bowel movements, and then sometimes food or other things in the small intestine can affect hormone levels as well.
Okay.
So that's usually where I start.
Yeah.
And then I also look at nutrition and blood sugar because that's a huge trigger as well for hormone imbalance, more so on the realm of what it does to progesterone. So if somebody's like nutrition is like they're under eating or they're caloric restricting or their blood sugars, like they're trying to do too much fasting in the wrong phases of their cycle, that will cause their blood sugar to drop. And then that will cause cortisol to spike. And then their blood sugar is doing wonky things all day. And that will affect like how their body produces progesterone during that second phase of the cycle. And again, progesterone is really important for balancing estrogen. So blood sugar is a trigger for headaches and migraines. So that's like, we want to make sure that we're avoiding all triggers. But that also does have a long-term effect on your cycles as well.
Okay. So are there a lot of, do you see sugar intake, glucose at a high level being an issue? I mean, is that essentially part of what you're saying?
More so of like balanced meals in
balanced
that
meals.
Regard.
Okay.
So if somebody is having like skipping breakfast or having just like a carbohydrate for breakfast and then having like not enough protein and fiber and fats with meals to keep blood sugar levels steady throughout the day. Yes, just sugar alone or just having caffeine with milk and sugar will cause your cortisol and your blood sugar to spike and then probably crash and be all over the place the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And is a stress on the system.
Okay. Interviewing, I believe it was an interview with Dr. Morris, talking about the gut microbiome, and he described the scenario where someone has, whether it's a yeast overgrowth or something that like basically their body and their brain are addicted to sugar. Like it just, is there sort of a cyclical effect where like it just, it's this downward spiral and we have to sort of be strategic and like cutting it off and restoring the gut health and what that looks like?
Yeah. So the relationship between gut microbiome and cravings and what you're eating, there's a clear correlation. So what you're eating is going to affect your gut microbiome.
Yep.
And then also your gut microbiome can affect what you're craving.
Okay.
So they go hand in hand. And so we kind of treat both at the same time.
Okay.
But yes, eliminating the simple sugars and the simple carbohydrates and the processed foods will be good for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So maybe one of the things that listeners can pull out of this is if they're craving sugar constantly, like maybe that's a kind of a caution, like what is happening there to cause you to crave sugar? Are there other cravings that people might have that are like, that's probably abnormal?
So are you talking about just right before the cycle or in general at all
it's a good question. Can you speak to both?
So in general, if you're craving sugar, what are you craving? Like you're craving easy energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So glucose is like really easy energy. So first assess what you've had to eat. And so have you had anything to eat throughout the day or have you had like a substantial meal and nutrients? If not, then starting your day with like protein, like more of a savory breakfast, like like eggs and veggies and yep. avocado or something that's more satiating can really help with sugar cravings. And then assess your sleep and like, why is your, are you tired? Like, what else is contributing to those sugar cravings?
Gotcha.
And then gut health can also contribute.
Yeah. To sugar cravings. Okay. So sleep, tell us more about that. Cause I'm sure sleep, stress, like, there's other avenues here that people might have irregular cycles. Is that, yeah, is sleep a part of this too?
Sleep is huge. So sleep can be disrupted during during different phases of your cycles. Okay. When your hormones change, that can cause some sleep disruption from the change in progesterone levels. But in general, like your circadian rhythm, that is what your cortisol is doing. So it's supposed to be high in the morning and come down as the day goes on. That plays a huge role on your monthly cycle as well. So trying to keep some level of rhythm in your day and having good sleep hygiene and really prioritizing sleep is part of stress management as well.
Yeah.
And will have a direct effect on your hormones.
Okay. Anything else in there that when you're evaluating, like looking at the full picture in like a naturopathic sort of mindset, anything else in there?
In regards to headaches?
So headaches, hormones, yeah. I guess if not spanning the whole scope of what you do, but if someone's coming in with a headache or a migraine, anything else that you're going to look for?
So definitely looking at liver and toxin exposure as well.
Okay.
So nowadays we're exposed to endless amounts of toxins and we can do our best to filter our water and filter our air and avoid plastic. But there's so many toxins in our environment and they affect our liver health, right? So we all have our bucket of how much we can hold in regards to toxins. So all of our blood gets filtered through our liver and our liver takes substances, so our hormones and then also toxins, and takes it through phase one detoxification, where it actually makes it more water soluble, which actually makes it more toxic.
Okay.
And then phase two is where we take that and get it ready, package it up to be eliminated. So in the stool or in the urine or in the sweat. And so a lot of our buckets are filling up, right? And they're just, we're not able to keep up with the process of eliminating. And so we become symptomatic when those buckets are too full and we can't eliminate enough. And that leads to overflow symptoms, and headaches can be one of those.
Okay. All right. So as far as a treatment approach, I mean, it sounds like there's natural solutions to these things in correcting behaviors, environments, things like that. But talk us through maybe a scenario of what you would recommend for someone.
So it depends on what's going on. Everybody's treatment plan is going to look different. But if we're dealing with hormone imbalance, the foundations are key. So working on their nutrition and finding out what their nutritional triggers are. And sometimes that includes running a food sensitivity test.
Okay.
Because sometimes there's specific foods, and sometimes just keeping a log, like a headache log, where they find out, they can kind of start to pick up on patterns of what their triggers are, can be helpful. But in general, like lowering inflammation is going to help the way you experience headaches and pain when your hormones change.
Right.
So in general, anti-inflammatory diet or nutrition plan is what we focus on. And then looking at sleep. So if you're not sleeping well and getting restorative sleep, that will affect your hormones.
Okay.
And then looking at your emotional health, right? Like that stress, that emotional health and what's going on in your mind has a direct correlation with hormones as well. And making sure that aspect of your health is optimal or you have an outlet for that.
Right.
And then movement. And movement more so probably in
speaking
realms
my language.
Of what you're doing, right? If we're not moving enough and aware of where our body is, that is an outlet for stress. It's supposed to be, in most animals in nature use movement to kind of release stress. If anybody has a dog, they can see how they shake after being yelled at or getting in trouble, right? So movement is huge for releasing stress, but it's also for muscle tension prevention as well. So that's the foundation. I generally run labs, so ruling out other things that might be contributing, run inflammatory markers, see what else is out of balance that might be contributing to the hormone imbalance or the symptoms that are associated with hormone changes. And then I really like to use herbs. I think that
okay.
we As a culture, we don't use herbs enough in our cooking, and we're just so disconnected. Most people aren't growing herbs in their yard and using them when things come up, but they're so powerful.
Okay,
And they can really help lower inflammation, help with liver health, help with hormone balance. So depending on what phase a woman is in, so if she's in her reproductive years, there's things we can do to, and she's having trouble clearing estrogen in an effective way, there's herbs we can use to help clear the estrogen more effectively or to help boost progesterone levels as we work on the other reasons of why the progesterone might be suppressed. And then if a woman's transitioning in perimenopause, hormone replacement therapy is an option to help calibrate those hormones during those transition years.
Okay. Yeah. That's fantastic. Are there specific herbs, that may be more helpful, in this scenario?
So for headaches specifically, I really like using, for symptom relief, I really like using butterbur.
Okay.
It's an herb that I've seen work really well for some patients, but it will never work in isolation. So
okay.
You have to address the other things. If we're dealing with estrogen dominance, it's actually not an herb, but it's a nutrient called sulforaphane that helps kind of the way the phase two of the liver detoxification process works can be really helpful for estrogen levels. And then for progesterone, if progesterone's lower, out of balance, using Vitex can be really helpful, or evening primrose oil to balance the progesterone.
Yeah. This sounds fantastic. The things you're saying just seem so reasonable. I hope the listeners are hearing this and it just clicking. I think one of the things that's a problem in our culture and how we interact with healthcare providers is naturopathic medicine is probably labeled as an alternative. And if it's not Western medicine, it's sort of like questioned. But what's fascinating about both the functional medicine providers I've had, naturopathic, it's like the approach seems just very reasonable. And so I want to ask the question, and I know you hit on it when you were telling your story, but how is maybe the medical doctor trained? I'm asking this question to help the listener understand why they might need to have confidence in stepping outside of like a Western medicine model. But where is the OBGYN going to be helpful, and where might it be limited in what they're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thanks.
I think it's time. Like I have a lot more time with my patients.
Okay.
So I spend an hour and a half in that initial visit, really getting to know all aspects of health, because mm-hmm. I really believe that everything is connected. And I think the biggest limiting factor was time. So 15 minutes with a provider, their goal is to, whatever concern you're coming in for, whether that's headaches or knee pain or whatever it is, to figure out like, is there anything terrible going on? Like, do you have a brain tumor? Rule out the worst case scenario, and then give you something to quickly address that. And oftentimes, unfortunately, the options for that, so for hormonal headaches, oral birth control is an option, and it will, for some people, make it better. Some people, it makes it worse. But it's just basically suppressing your cycles, and it's just giving you a flatline hormone level. But it's dealing with the problem, right? And that's what they're going to do is try to just give you some relief for what you're looking for. And then there's other medication. So taking over-the-counter pain medication that will suppress the symptom and lower the inflammation, but oftentimes can lead to worsening rebound headaches. So just something to be aware of.
Right.
Anytime you suppress, it will come back in another way to tell you. It's your body it's just an alarm in your body telling you that something's off.
Yeah. I'd love to go further on that subject. That approach in isolation, meaning you're on birth control, hormonal migraines, you're on birth control, no consideration for diet, sleep, stress level, like these things that you're mentioning. What are some more of the risks in that? Whether it's like risk directly to taking birth control to, you know, just suppressing like the alarm signal that's going off.
Yeah. So again, I'm going to be upfront. I'm not against, there's moments for some patients where mm-hmm. medication or birth control is an amazing option
yep.
to temporarily address the issue. But don't ever stop there.
Yeah.
And then know that as soon as you come off, it's very likely that it'll come back.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that when they are put on oral contraceptive pills, and even if they might feel like they're having a cycle, if they're taking that placebo week, you're not cycling and you're completely shutting down your natural hormone production and you are on synthetic hormones. So oftentimes it's a synthetic estrogen and a synthetic progesterone. And so for some people that can add more of a burden on their liver or more disruption in their gut if they're more susceptible to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like your approach and the way you're communicating about it, it's balanced, it's kind, it's very like understanding of people going through the situation. And I know listeners will appreciate that. And also very clear. I feel like we've had sort of this, these are the symptoms you might be presenting this, here's what's happened and here's what to do about it. One thing we like to do is make it very practical for people. And that can be anything from, you know, here's something to think about if you know, you're just starting this journey with hormonal migraines to, you know, here's one of the number one things that I tell, you know, all my patients, and it seems to be really helpful. Is there anything like that that you can provide our listeners?
Yeah. So tracking, I know I brought this yeah. up before, but
okay.
really track. It's so empowering. Like get to know your cycle. And this is for women in their reproductive years where their cycles are regular or irregular. And then also for women in their like late 30s or 40s where their hormones start to change, like be aware of hormone changes because you want to be proactive as you enter perimenopause, those perimenopause years, because there's so much you can do to make that transition easier. And then other simple things is magnesium. So magnesium okay. is a mineral that a lot of people are deficient in because their soils are so depleted. So we can get it from fruits and vegetables or from vegetables, especially dark leafy greens. But you have to eat a lot of it
okay.
and know that your levels are depleted when you're under more stress.
Mm.
And it's involved in over 300 reactions in our body and really important for liver health and how we metabolize hormones as well. Also important for muscle function, muscle relaxation. So it can help improve your sleep quality, help improve your hormones, and then can be shown to help with hormonal headaches as well, or more so tension headaches. But mm-hmm. It's definitely a great option or something to have on hand and take consistently and has very low side effect profile. And then the form that I generally recommend if you're prone to headaches is malate or bisglycinate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. I feel like this has been one of the most like efficient, like get to the heart of the issue and be very clear. So thank you for that. Any other thoughts or like nuggets or just final things that you want our listeners to hear?
Yeah. If you have a symptom, again, don't allow anybody to tell you that it's not real and that you should ignore
yeah.
it. It is there if you're experiencing it and if it's affecting the quality of your life, or don't ignore it. I think a lot of people normalize, like just think that that's the norm.
Yep.
So talk to other people about symptoms. I think it's our generation is definitely talking more about health.
Mm-hmm.
So have conversations. Hey, do you experience headaches every time you get your period? And you'll realize maybe that isn't the norm and that shouldn't be the norm.
Right.
And so then dig into why you're experiencing those symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. This is going to be fantastic content. I think it's going to be one of our most listened to podcasts because it's a question that we get frequently. And we love resources on this podcast. I mean, when we're working with someone at Novera in the clinic or online, I mean, having a podcast to say, hey, listen to Dr. Leora, and then being able to send them your way. And that's my last question for you is, how can they interact with you?
Yeah, if you're interested in learning more about what it looks like to work together, just go to theorganiccure.com. I offer a free meet and greet session. It's actually a group call, so there's usually like between 5 to 10 people on that call. And the reason for that is I have found that oftentimes the questions that one person asks is really helpful for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so you can choose to be anonymous on that call and just kind of listen in on all the questions that everybody's asking me. That happens every week. So if you're interested in a free meet and greet and have more specific questions about what it would look like to work together, just check us out online.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. Yeah. If you have any sort of question in your mind of hormones contributing to your headaches or migraines, if you've been told you have hormonal migraines, if you just know that you're someone that needs to go through this process, please reach out to Dr. Leora at theorganiccure.com or find a provider in your area that thinks this way and can spend the time to really evaluate your needs and then put a plan in place to make changes. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. Share this episode with someone who might need it. Give us a 5-star review. It helps the algorithm, keeps us going, and shares it with people organically that need to see it. Thank you so much. I will see you next week as we continue on this journey to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so they can break free from their life of fear of their next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. See you next week.